Have you ever been stuck? Have you ever gotten stuck in the snow, snowbank? Not really in Alaska until you get stuck in the ditch and some stranger pulls you out. It's something that almost all of us have gone through. Have you ever been stuck trying to lose weight? You know, you've been dieting for a while, you get on the scale, that number just won't go down the way you want it to, or maybe it's even going back up. You don't want to get stuck. Sometimes it happens. Years ago, when I was in South Africa, I experienced something that traumatized me for months. I nearly drowned. I got stuck in a riptide in the ocean, and it was a very, very terrifying experience. But I chose to get in that water, and I even invited some of my teammates and friends to come with me in the water, and we got stuck out there and was swimming in the water for over 30 minutes with known great whites in the area. And I remember a very terrifying moment of realizing we were getting pulled out, we couldn't see the bottom, and we're swimming and we're exerting energy trying to get back, and having our heads down and swimming and swimming and swimming, and then looking up and seeing that we're even further out than when we started, and realizing I just exerted X amount of energy, and I'm now even further away than where I started. There's nobody on the shore to come save me. There's sharks in the water, and there's other people here with me that are out here stuck now because of my choices. It was a terrifying experience to be stuck in that moment, to be trapped. I survived. but that's another story. Are you stuck in something right now? Are you trapped in something? Do you have some sin in your life, an addiction, a habit, a personality trait, something that you know, this is not good, I don't want this anymore, but I can't seem to get rid of it? Are you stuck in something this morning? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Test yourself. This is written to us because sometimes we need to take time and think and look at our life and see, okay, am I in the faith or am I in something else? This is written to Christians. Examine yourself, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. What are we immersed in? What are we stuck in? Are we stuck in the faith or are we stuck in some trap? Are you stuck in something this morning? We need to properly examine ourselves. But to properly examine anything, you need to know what you're looking for. There's a really popular YouTube channel, these two guys, Rhett and Link. I really like a lot of this material they put out. They're really clean, and they do a lot of goofy, funny things. And years ago, they had a competition of manliness between the two of them, and it was satire, and it was quite humorous. And one of them says, when my car breaks down on the side of the road, I don't call a mechanic. I just open up the hood and I stare at it, and then I call a mechanic. If we don't know what we're looking for, then we're just looking at stuff, and we're just going to examine our lives without knowing what we're looking for. We're just going to be checking ourselves out. We need to be knowing what to look for in this examination of ourselves. So how do we properly examine our lives? How do we properly test ourselves? Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. Open your Bibles and let's look through this together. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 16. Now, Timothy is written through the Holy Spirit. It's written by Paul to Timothy. Paul is a preacher, He's writing to a younger preacher, kind of his apprentice, Timothy. And so this letter is with the intention of helping another preacher. And not everybody's a preacher, but the truth in this letter, the message of this letter is applicable to all Christians. And the qualities and attributes that are being promoted are applicable to all of us. So let's read this now, verses 12 through 16. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which has been given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. And then listen to this. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will both save yourself and your hearers. There are some really active words in this passage. Starting in verse 15, I want to highlight practice. Practice these things. Have you ever played a sport? You have to practice to become more proficient at that sport. What use is a doctor who's not practicing? You have to be putting into action the things that we have learned and that we have known. This love, this faith, this purity, the setting an example. We have to practice these things. And here, as the Church of Christ, we like to talk a lot about the importance of immersion, and rightly so. But what we need to be immersing ourselves in is in the Word, is what we're just told here, to immerse yourself in them. The way my mind works, the word that comes to mind is marinate. I like a good marinated steak. It's just such a good word, marinate. It just sits within it, and it's in there for so long, it starts to absorb what it's immersed in. We should be marinating in the Word. We should be in God's Word, sitting before Christ, learning and listening from Him. We need to be immersed in this. We don't just pledge allegiance to it and associate ourselves with it, but we are immersed in these things. We're told to keep a close watch on ourselves and on the teaching. A close watch, not something we just do once a week, not just a couple times on the week, but a close watch. Do you keep a close watch on your kids? I mean, that's a close watch. You watch them. Unity just rolled over for the first time a few days ago. I have to watch her a lot more when we set her down a little higher, because like, well, she might actually roll all the way off now. So I got to keep a close watch. We're to keep a close watch on ourselves and on the teaching. Do we look at this with a close watch, or are we just thinking, well, the preacher will tell us what to do? Or I listen to this podcast and they say some nice things, or I listen to this song, or is that a close watch? We need to examine. Are we keeping a close watch on ourselves and on the teaching? Persist in this. Another action word. You know, what do you persist in? What does that look like? What are we chasing? What are we investing in? What are we putting our time towards? There was another aftershock yesterday afternoon that I felt. I've lost track of how many that there were. But I find it no coincidence that no one died from this earthquake here in Alaska. And when the earthquake of similar sizes around the world have caused massive devastation, and I know that some of that, to some degree, is probably due to the way we build things here, but you have to know. I mean, you saw the picture, maybe you saw it in person in Anchorage, where that SUV was on that off-ramp or on-ramp, was it Minnesota, where there is all the wreckage of the earth around it, but there's this one little island with the SUV just sitting there, and they had to leave it there. What are the odds of that happening? That's not just coincidence. And I can't help but think that God wants us to realize how little in control we are of the world around us. It's so easy to think that this is all stable, this world around us. But really, the only thing you can control are your own choices. The only thing you can control is what you do with the time that's been given to you. So what we can choose what we persist in. But when we choose to persist, when we use the choices that we have to do these things, we see that all may see your progress in verse 15. When we're choosing to immerse ourselves in these and to keep a close watch, it's tangible, it's obvious, it's evident. There's fruit, there's progress, there's something happening and changing in your life when we are pursuing the word of God. So, is your progress as a Christian observable? Okay, let's examine ourselves. Let's test ourselves. Let's think about that. From you, from a year ago, if you put yourselves in the same room, are you closer to God or further away from God? Let's examine that. Let's think about that. Let's pray about that so that all may see your progress. Is there progress to be seen in your life as an individual? Is there fruit from your life that is observable? Jesus says you can judge a tree by its fruit. That includes us. That includes looking at your own life. He tells us in John 15, as Ethan read for us moments ago, he says that I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he says that if you are bearing fruit, my Father is going to prune you so that you bear more fruit. He says if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cast off. You're going to wither. You're going to be thrown in the fire. So is there fruit in your life? Is there a pruning process in your life where you could say, yeah, this was in my life, God removed it, and now I'm bearing more fruit? Can you clearly say that? Can I clearly say that? That's something we need to examine. We need to test. We're told that the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is that fruit more evident in your life than last year? Do you find yourself loving more, becoming more patient? Do you see that you have more self-control now? Are we kinder now? Are these things increasing or are they decreasing? You see, Christianity is never stagnant. It never plateaus. You're either moving towards God or away from God. You can't float upstream. Okay, there's a direction. You have to persist. It takes focus. It takes effort. It takes commitment. But I want to talk about priorities in this. And this is really kind of the bullseye of today's lesson. I want us to go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Holidays are coming up. It's a pretty busy time for many of us. Have you ever responded to someone's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And you say, "Oh, we've been busy." I say that. Here's a big question. Here's a big question. And listen to this. When did we start to equate busyness with goodness? Okay, examine that. Take that in. Think about that. When did we start equating busyness with goodness? What if when we said, hey, how's it going? And we said, oh, I've been blessed. I've been learning more about Jesus. Now, this might just be the pessimistic side of me, but I feel like that would make some people uncomfortable. It'd be like, well, oh, really? Oh, okay. This is not our normal answer. Why isn't that our normal answer? We need to examine that. Busyness does not equal goodness. Busyness does not equal goodness. There's one thing that matters, and it's sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's one place we need to be, and it's listening to his teaching, not doing what we think is right and good. There's only one source of goodness, and it's Jesus. Your value is not based off of your performance. Thankfully, your identity, your love you receive from God is not sourced in your behavior. When while we were enemies with God, Christ died for us on the cross. We never let God down. We were never holding him up. Busyness does not equal goodness. Busyness can become an idol. Busyness can become our identity. I want us to read a passage in Isaiah where there's these list of woes to the wicked in Israel. And I want us to read this because this puts some things in perspective for me, and I hope it is for you as well. Isaiah 5, verses 18 through 19. Listen to this. Isaiah 5, 18 through 19. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, who draw sin as with cart ropes, who say, let him be quick, let him speed his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and let it come that we may know it. And the woe here is that you have these busy, busy people, and they have these carts behind them of just sin that they're carrying, almost like backpacks or wagons, where they're just carrying around sin with them. And they come up to the prophet, they come up to the man of God, and they say, come on, tell us what God wants. Let's hear it. I got places to be. That's the warning. That you just, okay, I want to hear what God has to say, and I'll think about it, and I'll let me carry on with my life. I got other things going on. As opposed to Mary, who says, there's all this stuff going on. I'm going to sit down right here, and I'm going to listen to Jesus. Have you ever been passive-aggressive or been around somebody that's passive-aggressive? Because, you know, Mary and Martha, I imagine Martha was talking to Mary before she was talking to Jesus. And she's sitting there cleaning and scrubbing and doing things. She's looking at Mary, and then she kind of like slams a little down, cleaning a little bit more. Like, come on. And Mary's like, no, I'm going to be here. And then she's slamming stuff and cleaning. I imagine it's probably pretty hard for Mary to see her sister all flustered and bent out of shape and having this conflict, and her putting her foot down saying, no, I'm going to be with Jesus. That's pretty tough. Peer pressure is a real deal. And our culture saying, if you're not busy, well, then you're lazy. Really? Is that true? Is that true? Busyness does not equal goodness. Busyness does not equal goodness. Woe to the wicked who pull their carts and say, hurry up, God, tell us what you want. Then I'll maybe do it, and I got places to be, things to do. What's our priorities? What do we focus on? You see, as humans, we have to work with the past, the present, and the future. And Satan wants us in two of those places, one more than the other. You see, we can get stuck in the past. Something can happen in our lives, either a mistake we've made, or maybe we've been hurt in some way, or been traumatized in different ways, whether it's regret, or whether it's something traumatic. There's sometimes things in our past, a relationship, or hurt or pain, that continues to tax today. It continues to pull us back, and we kind of have our identity of like, well, I went through this, and now I'm this. And this past mentality of being stuck in the past is bad. It's dangerous. But it's not as bad as being stuck in the future. You see, being stuck in the past, that's something that's real. That's something that actually happened, things that have taken place. So understanding the past, learning from the past, knowing the past, there's some benefit from that. But letting the past continue to affect you is bad, but it's something that's real. Being stuck in the future, being anxious about the unknown, about things that haven't happened, that's where Satan wants us the most, because it's not even real. It might not even happen. And it's just a bunch of unknown variables. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, focus on today. Because today is real. This is the present. I've heard it once said that the past is unchangeable, the future is uncertain, but today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. So in a time as presents are starting to become more on people's minds, maybe you've done some Christmas shopping or so, the present today, we have the opportunity to make a choice. Are we going to be busy, or are we going to put ourselves at the feet of Jesus to learn from him? Satan wants you to get wrapped up in the future. He wants you to get stuck in the past. Jesus wants you today to sit at his feet, to not be stuck, but to let go of these burdens. He says, cast them away. Take my burden upon you. It's light. I'll give you rest. He's to take my yoke upon you. Have you ever seen a yoke with oxen? They're pretty cool. These two oxen have this device between their two necks. And we usually have an older oxen with a younger oxen, the younger oxen being the inexperienced one. And it wants to either slow down or speed up. While the strong, experienced oxen says, nope, this is the course we're going to go. This is the pace we're going to go. And the other one learns from it and actually helps transfer power between the two. So you have this nice, even journey between the two of them. Well, that's us. We want to slow down and go back to things in the past, or we want to rush forward to things in the future. And Jesus says, no, worry about today. What are you doing today? And today, choose to be with me. We're going to go on this journey together. So we need to make sure that we're yoked to Jesus, not busy running around thinking what we think is right. I want us to read one more passage as we conclude this morning. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And the context here is it just gone through a long list of people that made the right choice of following God, not being busy with things that they thought was right or other people told them was right. But they made the right choice to choose the good portion. So Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. I want us to examine this and process it and apply it. Did you hear that verse 1? Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So closely, it's like a part of you. It's clinging to you. It's been there for a long, long time. This is written to Christians. And they got sin that's clinging so closely. But it needs to be cast aside. You need to lay it down. Are you stuck in something? Are you wrapped up in something? Are you trapped in something? We need to let it go. We need to let it go and fall away. You see, when we became Christians, we repented, right? We repented, we confessed, we were baptized, we received forgiveness, we received the Spirit. Repentance is not a one-time event. Something that's ongoing. Where as we sit more at Jesus' feet and we hear his teaching, you say, wow, I'm missing that. Or I'm not doing that. I need to do that. I'm going to repent of this. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to submit to Jesus. I'm going to live like he's telling me to live. So right now, this morning, we're all wrapped up in different things. My life is not 100% lined up with this. Is yours? We haven't figured it all out yet. We're still repenting of things to be more like Jesus. So we need to lay aside that weight. We need to cast it off, this stuff that clings so closely that maybe we've had our whole lives. Maybe it's part of our personality. Well, there is such thing as a personality flaw. And we need to set that aside and adopt Jesus's personality, his mindset, his perspective. So we discard because of ongoing repentance. We are told to run. Run the race that is set before you. What are you persisting in? What are you focusing on? Are you busy on things that you think are good and right? Or are you running to the feet of Jesus? Because we're told to look to Jesus. That's what our energy is supposed to be directed towards. This is something you have to do. I can't cast off your sin for you. I can't. But I can do it with you. Did you see here where it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us? I can't cast off your sin, but I can cast off sin with you. I can't run the race for you, but I can run the race with you. We're supposed to be doing this together. So let's repent of things that we're learning are not of Jesus, so we can become more like him, because we want to sit at his feet. We don't want to be busy with things that we think are good. We want to be sitting at the feet of the only one who is good, so we can examine and see, that is good, this is not, I want that. I'm going to yoke myself to that, not to anything else. So let's run this race set before us with endurance, looking only to Jesus, not to our past, not to the unknown future, but the present, to a God who is always with us, who has given us a clear word to follow and to test ourselves by and to examine ourselves. I know we're not perfect. I know we have things that we're stuck in and we're trapped in. But you don't have to be stuck in that forever. You don't have to be stuck of that for us today. God has given us the gift of today to choose to follow him, to let go of these things, and to follow Christ. So if there's anyone here that's trapped and stuck in things that are not of God, and if we can help run that race with you, we're going to stand and sing, and you can come forward, and we can pray together, we can run this race together. If you are not a Christian yet, and you want to begin your walk with God, if you want to join this family, this great family, and run this marathon together of being more like Jesus, please come forward now while we stand and sing.